Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. Thank you for joining us today, and I want to advise you this is a pre-recorded interview. We're doing this on February 4th. It will likely post sometime during the week of the 20th or maybe the 13th. So anyways, thank you for joining us. We have with us today Mr. Hervé Courtois from the... He does several things, so let me kind of give you a... He's a blogger. He's kind of an internet blogger. So thank you, Hervé, for joining us.
Thank you, too, for having me.
Well, let me tell you about what his work has been and why I want him to share with us, because I have a particular interest in interviewing Hervé because he keeps a level head. He has been a blogger. He's a relatively new anti-nuke activist like myself who got active only after Fukushima. But he does post every single day. He's actively posting on nuclearnews.net. We did interview Sean McGee. We have not interviewed Christine. I have not even reached out to her just because I know she's elderly and I don't really want to bug her. But he works with her and Sean. He also has started a Facebook group called Fukushima Watchdogs. Where you can go there, it's called Fukushima. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's Fukushima 311 Watchdogs.
It's not a group. It's a community page.
Okay, great. Thank you. It's a community page. And then he also has a website that's a blog that's Fukushima Watchdogs that you can look for.
Not 311
Watchdogs. Yeah, but no 311. It just says Fukushima Watchdogs. Fukushima 311 Watchdogs is a Facebook community page, and then he also has the Rainbow Warriors, correct?
The Rainbow Warriors is the group.
That's right. Rainbow Warriors is a group. I'm not really clear on this social media distinction, so I apologize for that. So one of the things that we were talking about right before we began to record was the importance of not being sensationalized by the gravity of the catastrophe in Fukushima. And I have a particular interest in that because, as most of my listeners know, I did support, in fact, I helped create the corporate structure for the Post-Ignorance Project. Our idea was to build a coalition of people around the nation. That didn't work because of the personality involved with that idea. And, you know, one of the things that I really liked about Hervé as I was, like, moving out of that structure with Kevin Blanch was keeping a cool head about not being hyper-sensationalized. And that is one of the things that happens here. And I, Hervé, would you just speak to that? Because you have some very good thoughts that helped me rethink my actions.
Sensationalism, in the hands of a lawyer, can be a useful tool, because a lawyer can bluff by preaching things which are not true. It might help to bring the truth out from the opponent. Okay, so to sensationalize the facts about Fukushima can be helpful to force the nuclear lobby to release some of the information. Okay, that's a good point, a possible good point. The second possible good point, it's when you sensationalize the news, you draw attention from the public. Okay, so people's attention is there on the news. But the problem with sensationalism is that when you don't stick to facts, sooner or later you get entrapped by the false news or the false facts that you are publishing or saying. And also, when you state things which are exaggerated, hyperbolic, or completely erroneous, it will not stick very long. You know, sooner or later it will come out, and you will lose the people. People sooner or later will realize that what you are telling is sensationalized, and it's not really ground on truth. So, for the short term, it's helpful, but for the long run, you are not marking points. Okay, you will not mark points, score points against the nuclear lobby that way. The other danger is the nuclear lobby has a huge budget in PR, you know, in spinning the news, in countering the real news, you know, to minimize the problem. And some of that budget is spent financing bullshit news, okay? Bullshit website to propagate false stories, hoax, that later on the media will use to discredit the real news, the real gravity of Fukushima. Do you get the point what I'm trying to
say? Yeah, so what you're saying is they create fake anti-nukers.
Yes, they create fake anti-nukers website. They create fake news about Fukushima to later be used against us, anti-nukers, to discredit us. I will give you one time it was very obvious to me, was in December 2013 to 2014, January. At the end of 2013, there was a website called Turner Radio website, home base in California. They published a hoax that that was on 31st of December 2013. They published a hoax which was saying there had been two explosions, underground explosion at Daiichi. Okay? And with that article, which was reshared by other websites, some other websites, very deep, very not reliable, and you don't know who are behind them, you know. And also shared on internet for 5 days on internet. It was like a tsunami that works. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I try to stop to fight that hoax for 5 days, from New Year to, from 31st of December to 4th of January. I contacted my daughter, who lives 25, 30 kilometers south from Fukushima Daiichi. She's measuring with Geiger counter every day. I contacted Wataru Iwata on location, who was in Fukushima City. My daughter is in Iwaki City, south of...
Still?
Pardon? Yes, still she's there. Wow. And I've contacted Wataru Iwata, who is the head of the CRNS, Citizen Monitoring, Radiation Monitoring Station in Fukushima City, who is 70 kilometers northwest from Daiichi. Both of them were not measuring any spike on location. They also asked other people and phoned some people in different places. Nobody had heard any explosion, and there was no radiation spike on location. Which
on the on the day of the accident, or
on the day of the hoax of December 31st, 2013.
Okay, thank you.
And also during the next few days, no spike. You cannot have some underground explosion and no release of radioactive plume whatsoever. If there was any explosion, underground explosion, there would be sure some increase, some spike of radiation in the environment, in the vicinity of the nuclear plant. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so knowing that, I really knew it was a hoax from the start. I fought that hoax. It was like a tsunami wave, you know, on the internet, you know, for 4 or 5 days. Nobody could stop it. People were all in a frenzy, you know. Then on the 4th of January, the media, some media, released some anti-nuke propaganda, this ridiculizing that hoax and returning it against us, okay, using it all these anti-nukers, you know, were exaggerating the news that everything was fine in Fukushima, blah, 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 blah. So I saw it at that time, you know, that a news could come out of nowhere, you know, a sensational news could be fabricated and then return against us few days later. Right? So that opened my eyes on sensationalists, that some sensationalist is produced by some website, like Natural News is one, which sensationalized to attract visitors. To increase its visitors.
You think it's intentional? Because I like Natural News. I like that. I mean, you have to double check every source. That's the thing with everywhere. You can't just like, because it's on there and they say that that is what it is. I've learned.
They have
a lot of good things on there, but I don't think it's intentional. I think that they themselves as the editors fall into that. I know I've done that myself, Hervé.
Maybe, but I also think some commercial website who wants to attract advertising, paying advertising.
Yes. Now that I'll go with. Yes. And I think they use this, but Hervé, let me just intercede here and ask you about this, because this is something I've come to frankly, I've sort of concluded this. I'm not, I just wonder if you have come to this conclusion. After looking at this, I mean, almost daily, intensively for over a year and a half that I've been on the radio, you know, I've been interviewing people very regularly, digging into backgrounds, looking at old newspapers, looking at peer-reviewed articles, because I'm a student, I can access the peer-reviewed articles, right? Yeah. So this is the thing. The reason that they are ignoring the intensity of Fukushima is that it is business as usual. We have been polluted. They already know. When Weinberg called themselves, we are the nuclear priesthood, and you now have a Faustian agreement with the nuclear scientists, they failed. They realized they failed. He said that in 1972. By then, he knew that there was so much pollution on this planet that it would change our climate because it's killing the microscopic organisms in the ocean, period, and in the atmosphere. The things that we need to build life here have been suffocated. And they know that they cannot even breathe a word of it, because if they did, the human population would have their heads, period. I don't care how many few of them are, they still want to live. And we are polluted beyond recognition. Fukushima hasn't just, we've just been pushed over the edge with Fukushima. They have no idea what to do with it. They don't have any idea to do with any of it.
Yeah, look at Hanford. How many years later is still there?
Look, and they're still lying about the deaths up there. They're still, do you know that in Hanford, they did not even, they're not even providing safety suits for their people anymore? They're saying you don't need it. Because they know that when those guys retire or get too sick, just like TEPCO discards its employees and says, you're too bad, you're on your own. I mean, it is a crime against humanity, the whole nuclear industry. This is why before we started, you said, oh, I'm not really an anti-nuke activist because I've only been doing it 6 years. Well, I've been doing it probably not 6 years. I woke up May 5th, 2012 is when I really realized the gravity of what is going on. And honestly, it's bullshit. No offense, but we got to stop these people. I don't want to be an activist for 30 years. Thanks, but no, because I demand success.
I know the feeling, because I've been spending many hours every day, you know, with Fukushima since 6 years.
Wouldn't you love to be sitting in a park, like being able to draw and go for a walk and like walk in the hills and breathe the air and drink from the river and go, wow, this is great. But you know what? I don't know about you, but when I go out for a walk and we're next to a river, there's no way I want to put that water in my mouth anymore under any circumstances, knowing what I know.
Yeah, you know, the difference between you and me, I am only recently back to live in France since 2009, okay? Before that...
Where were you before? Where were you?
Before that, I lived 10 years in Japan, and I lived 27 years in the Philippines.
Wow.
So when Chernobyl happened, I was not in Europe, I was in Japan and in the Philippines. And in the Philippines, I was an antique dealer. I was mostly collecting tribal artifacts from the tribes in the mountains in remote area. And I trekked every day 25, 30 miles through rainforest and mountains for many, many years. So I really enjoyed the nature. I really enjoyed the forest, you know. And I know the beauty of it, okay. And I know also how those native communities are clean, you know. Mentally, they are clean people. You know? So when I came back to Europe, because the economy in the Philippines and the political situation in the Philippines was getting aggravated year after year, I decided to bring back my family to France, where they have never been. They grew up. My first marriage, I have a daughter in Fukushima, And my first marriage, I was separated by my father-in-law, who did not approve our marriage and made everything to break it. My second marriage was
because you were not Japanese.
Yeah, because I'm not Japanese. And in those days, in early 80s, it was not common and not accepted at all. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. even now, it's more common, but still not accepted.
It's true.
So anyway, just before to come back to France, to civilization, to a consumer society, production, industry, etc., and pollution, and 2 years later to Fukushima,
wow.
I've been living a very healthy life, you know, most of the time in the countryside, most of the time in rural area, in mountains and forests and small villages. And I was very lucky to lead that life for many years. So I feel like what I'm doing now, blogging for Fukushima every day to try to raise awareness of people, is like goes the saying, pay my rent to the planet, you know. I see it that way, you know.
Yeah.
I wanted to read you something which I posted on a blog as an illustration to the blog this afternoon, this morning. Just a minute. It's very interesting.
Which blog?
This was from a study. I have the source somewhere in my file. You know, I have 6 years of files. A complete mess. I have never had time to sort them out, you know, chronologically and by topic and everything.
Saying.
Anyway, this is a quote from the nuclear lobby. One of their agenda, to make contaminated food acceptable.
Oh, I see this story.
Point,
that's
point,
what I was
point.
Fukushima
make arrangements
samples.
So as to avoid restrictions mm-hmm. on local products. There might be a situation where to sustain an agricultural economy would be impossible without introducing contaminated foods on the market, as those foods are also subjected to the market demand and supply. A strategy of efficient communication is necessary to overcome the negative reactions from the consumers living outside of the contaminated zones. Introduce contaminated food on the market. Overcome the negative reactions of the consumers living outside the contaminated zone. So you see, when you read such thing, you understand that the IAEA, the nuclear lobby, they know very well what they are doing.
Yes, that's exactly
it's
right.
It's all part of their strategy.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. They know exactly what they're doing. And that is this is what I mean. Hold on. This is exactly what I mean, R.A., is really, I even said this to Dr. Busby. They don't care what we do. They're just rolling over us back and forth. They don't care. They're going to do what they're going to do. Our kids are going to eat contaminated food and drink contaminated water, period. And really, I do not know what will make people care about this. I mean, by the time enough people are sick, it's going to be too late. I mean, we will have strands. I mean, only a few thousand human beings will live in 100 years if we do not stop these people.
I use that as an illustration to illustrate one of the recent articles released by the Mainichi News in Japan. That article, which is from today, February 3rd, government plan to cut back radiation tests on produce.
Right.
Draws mixed reactions, okay? The national government suggests it will scale back radiation tests on produce from Tokyo and 16 other prefectures affected by the Fukushima nuclear disaster. Blah, 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 blah. So you see now they want to lift, you know, to cut back the radiation test on food there, you know. And at the same time, they orchestrate a campaign that it said the radiation test of the fish, of the seafood is under the threshold level, blah, 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 blah. Everything is safe, blah, blah, blah. You see, people on location are subjected to massive disinformation.
Hervé, do they test for your radiation in France?
Do they test the food for radiation, or do they test radiation in the environment?
For food. The food in the groceries, you know, the food that gets sold.
What we have in France, and that you don't have in the U.S., after Chernobyl disaster, catastrophe, where the French government did not inform the people, they did not tell to the people the Chernobyl plume was coming our way, do not eat vegetables, stay away from the milk, etc. They did not warn the people.
Wow.
So a lot of people got affected. They even told to the people that the plume would not reach France. So not like Germany. Germany, they warned the people and they told to the people to not eat green leafy vegetables and stay away from the milk. The French government had the complete opposite attitude. They did not warn the people. They lied, you know. So half of France rarely receive the flu, and there's a lot of thyroid cancer in France. People who have thyroid problems.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, learning from that, citizen organized radiation monitoring station. We have one association which is in North France, which is called ACRO, which is in Normandy, not far from La Hague, where they have the nuclear waste supposedly reprocessing plant. Okay. And the other association is in South France, in the Rhône Valley, where you have a lot of nuclear plants. And where I come from, the Rhône, supposed to be very, very nice French wine. You know?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That second association is called CRIRAD. They are supported by citizen funding, memberships. They have their own labs for analyzing. They have their own device to test radiation in the air in different places, so as to warn the people, you know, if anything comes up again, you know, because to know about it on time is important. You know?
Can I ask you one more question about your France's nuclear experience? Because you just said there's a lot of nuclear plants. That reminds me of back east. But in the United States, If there's a nuclear plant, you can guarantee there's a leak. Our containers are only a half an inch thick, and there's a lot of contamination in our water, in our... Is that so near the nuclear power plants where you guys are?
Of course. Yeah. Of course. We have worse because the La Hague supposedly nuclear waste reprocessing plant, they have two huge pipes going out from there into the British Channel, you know, into the sea between England and France. Those two long pipes are going out and releasing liquid waste into the sea. Okay?
Yeah.
You talked about Fukushima releasing into the Pacific.
That's right. I've known about that also. I've known that.
Is releasing non-stop waste into the sea.
Unregulated. We don't even know what it is. It's the worst of everything.
Also the Sellafield plant in England.
Yes.
Into
the
Irish Sea. Okay. So people who are eating seafood, a mussel, you know, mussel.
Well, yeah, we know mussels.
Shrimps, fishes, which are
anything. Honestly, the whole ocean food is ought to be just bye-bye. No, don't eat it.
Without knowing what's in it, because it is not advertised, it's not published.
Well, they don't advertise it or publish it because we already know. Like, if you're dumb enough to eat that food, you know what I mean?
But,
like, it's a risk. It's like, I heard a Norwegian scientist say this. He said, look, I'm a Norwegian. Asking me not to eat the sardines, not to eat the fish is like asking me not to have my shoes on. And he said, it's a risk. He goes, we play Russian roulette every time. Yeah. Only with what's gone on in the ocean,
exactly.
the chambers are fully loaded. There's not one bullet in the chambers. There's six bullets in the chamber, and you have a chance of one out of six not getting shot.
But the problem, the main problem, when you say we know, yes. But we have very few to know. Because
do you believe that the masses do not believe that there is toxins in our food?
No. A lot of people. First of all, I don't know in the US, but like in France, people in high school, in college, they are not educated. You know, nuclear is a no. No, you know, they get no education about nuclear. Our country is very nuclearized, but we get no basic education on what is nuclear, what is radiation, how it works, what are the dangers. Okay, so you have a massive ignorance of the public about the real risk. Okay. Because the nuclear lobby and the governments, you know, don't let such news being circulated in the mainstream media.
You just gave me an idea. Maybe that's what we ought to do as citizen journalists and citizen bloggers. We just organize like little classes in our communities instead of telling people what's out there, just saying, look, this is what you're going to need to know about radiation and this is the risk. And these are the numbers, and hold up a Geiger counter and say, you want to know what the numbers are? And let's just take a look and see what the science says and pull out the scientific journals.
The other problem is the equipment. You see, everybody can...
True.
Everybody can buy a few hundred dollar or euro Geiger counter. But to measure contamination in food or liquids...
Right.
You need a Becquerel monitor. That's not cheap. That costs $8,000 or $9,000, $10,000.
$6,000. We priced it out here. It's about $6,600.
Yeah. So this is what you need to measure contamination in food and liquid. Okay.
Yeah.
You have a lot of people among the anti-nuclear activists. Some of the people bought a Geiger counter and they learned to measure radiation in the environment, etc. It's good, but it would be very important also that we learn to measure contamination in our foods and liquids. Okay, as the apparatus, the equipment is expensive. It's very good if people could join in groups, you know, in association, local association, you know. They keep in together to buy the equipment to measure.
So you want me to tell you my response to that? Isn't that what Greenpeace is for? I mean, look at their budget. You know, open up their 990, Greenpeace350.org. Bill McKibben. I mean, Bill McKibben's organization is a poor organization.
I got into...
Natural Resource Defense Fund, whose mission it is to defend the environment in the United States, takes in something like $350 million a year, $111 million a year. Greenpeace. You're going to tell me they could not in 6 years Greenpeace, have afforded that?
Greenpeace is already a corporation. They're out to make a buck.
No, Greenpeace is a non-profit organization. Greenpeace is... Well, this is the point here. And people contribute to them and support them and don't hold them to the fire. Like, this is why I don't give them money. I don't support Greenpeace.
I got into problem few days ago because I made a statement on the Coalition Against Nuke group, talking with Sheila Parks, who is an active...
Yes, I know Sheila on Facebook. I know her.
She was talking about Greenpeace, and I made a comment that actually Greenpeace in Japan did not do much. Okay, they did something. They were there, but what they did was very little compared to what they could have done. Okay,
exactly, or could be doing still.
Or could be doing still. You know, compared to the huge budget that they collect, that they rack in. You know, what they've been doing in Japan is zilch, and especially on location in Fukushima. They have not been helping the people to set up labs, okay? I got into trouble because a woman who is member on Coalition Against Nuke, she is the Greenpeace, she's an American woman. She's the Greenpeace representative in Japan in Tokyo. And she came to me and she told me, well, what are you selling, blah, 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 blah. I told her, yes, I maintain what I say. Then she posted some link about Greenpeace Japan, you know, helping the Iwaki City Mothers Radiation Lab to recently. And I laughed at her because the one who helped is not Greenpeace Japan, is not Greenpeace International. It's ACRO from Northwest Ranch, the association which I told you, which combined with the introduction of Greenpeace Strength to Greenpeace Japan, they are the ones who help equipment to the Mother's Radiation Lab in Iwaki. I know the people both in ACRO in France and in Iwaki in Mother's Radiation Lab, you know. So she could not bullshit me around, you know. But I told her, you should get out from your ivory tower in Tokyo where she lives, you know.
Did she understand that she was misinformed?
No, these people, you know, once they are, how to say, stuck up in their status, in their position, she will defend her association, her Greenpeace organization.
Well, look, Hervé, this is my position here. We need to, like, move people beyond that. This sounds exactly like Donald Trump with his alternative facts.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
It is alternative facts. She's been given facts. She knows for a fact that Greenpeace helped. That's the facts she's been given. She knows that. That means it's circulating somewhere within that organization. So, you know, a way that you can now overcome that, if you know that for a fact, get those people to make like a video. And they don't have to have music, just like out them. This kinds of stuff needs to be called out immediately.
It's terrible, I know. But these people, same as the nuclear lobby, these people have huge budget.
But you know what? If we have huge willingness to be active, their money is not enough to overcome us. Because like me and like you, Hervé, you notice you and I are both older.
Yeah.
And you know why it's the older people engaged in this? Because we have the time. The younger people have to work. I have to work, but I've learned how to manage my time so that I push it in there. So that, I don't know. These are the kinds of stories, and I agree with you, but it is... So let me just ask you that on that incident. That did you just leave it lie? I mean, did she just walk away mad at you because you didn't understand?
Yeah, I mean,
Interestingly enough, you know what? Like, give me, because those people, the other organization who purchased the equipment, if it's a nonprofit or if it's a self-funded place, they have receipts. And if these people want to find out the real facts, maybe she'll hear this interview. And she'll find out the real facts herself because, again, like you said, nuclear news, they sensationalize. I think what we have all gotten caught up in is believing things. It's very hard. This is all new to us. most of us that have actively gotten engaged since Fukushima have had our come to Jesus moment since then, if you know what I mean. We're like, oh my God, we actually believe that these agencies, that the military, they would not be doing these things to us. But instead, we have found out we have all been being manipulated and lied to by the so-called media, the journalists.
Yeah, every day.
And so it's very important for us to follow up with our own facts. And even within organizations like Greenpeace, this lady, I'm sure, was told that they did that. She has a good heart. I know Janet Saxon on Facebook. She and I have engaged. I don't know her personally, but she's not a dishonest person. It's just people who are involved believe their way of thinking. It's like talking to Bill McGibbon of 350.org or the people from NDRC. Like, I had a conversation with them. They firmly believe that promoting nuclear to get rid of coal in our country is the most important thing they can do. Yeah. While they choose to ignore Indian Point leaking tritium into the Hudson Bay nonstop now for almost 2 years.
You look at Monbiot. You know Monbiot?
Yes.
He's excellent on everything except when it comes to nuclear.
Because he's been lied to. This is the point. It's the facts that they're believing. It's that they're like, well, you know, because the nuclear industry actually even purchases their own scientists, like Catherine Higley up here at the Oregon State University. She runs the nuclear department here. She's the one who wrote that article about bananas coming, Fukushima, the radiation coming from Fukushima is equivalent to eating a banana.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. You know, I now have scientists contacting me on my Facebook page or through Facebook and saying, right, so just go eat a banana, get all the radon you want. And you know what I tell them? I don't argue with them about that. I said, fine, let me just not talk to you about the science of nuclear, but you're going to tell me what you're going to do with the nuclear waste other than make depleted uranium weapons. Yep. Because even the medical science using radiation fails. American doctors don't even want to use it anymore because most of their patients end up dying.
Yeah. Well, thanks God there are still a few scientists which are, which believes in pure science and not in career and money.
That's
people
right.
like Chris Busby, Yablokov, who just died recently. We lost a big one.
Yes, we did.
People like Arnie and Maggie Gundersen, which really did an excellent job over the years.
Although I do, you know what, I like Arnie Gundersen's work, but man, it's a bit annoying how, like, he's not even attempting to recruit other scientists. I have a hard time with people who are willing to work in the industry, and then afterwards, they're still afraid of the industry. It's obvious he does not want to be taken out by the nuclear industry. Yeah. They're still all worried about their reputations in lots of ways. We can see.
The thing with Arnie, he's an anti-nuclear activist, that's for sure. But he is used as a state witness in some of the case against nuclear.
True. He's a qualified expert. Exactly.
Okay. As that could not destroy that ability and that capacity, he cannot. There's a limit to what he can do publicly. Okay.
I get what you're saying. It's my same argument about Chris Busby and Dr. Helen Caldicott, because people piss and mono, excuse my language, people get, you know, all angry because they're not out there screaming up and down. This is my point. Like, the people that are in charge must be believing that nuclear is just not that bad. Like, they think that it's equivalent to coal pollution. Like, the guys at the National Resource Defense Fund, literally, I believe that they got like an 11. They did not disclose who it was, but they got an $11 million contribution and shortly thereafter started working with the Illinois state legislature to keep two leaking nuclear power plants open. Hmm. And when I called, they, now I can't say that $11 million contribution was from the nuclear industry, because who knows, they're not required to disclose it. They had a $10 million and an $11 million contribution given to them. Both of them, they would not disclose. But they and you know, and when I called them, they said, well, it's, you know, we believe it's more urgent to close down the, their idea is they want to phase out nuclear in 10 years after we close out and find a solution for the coal. We have leaking nuclear power plants in Illinois that are open because of a so-called environmental group in the United States. This is how the nuclear industry works.
Yeah. I will tell you an anecdote on scientists, okay? One of the very good scientists is Tim Musso.
Right.
And he's been certainly the one doing the biggest job in Chernobyl and also in Fukushima, many, many field trips.
Isn't he the one that studies the birds?
Yeah, I study the birds, the insects, etc.
Yeah.
Now, one of the papers that he published on Fukushima, one of the first papers he published, he had received help from some local Japanese scientist. So as it is usual, when he published the paper, the scientific paper, he credited the other scientists who had helped him, okay? And those Japanese scientists quickly contacted him and told him, please, in future, do not credit us on any papers that you publish and where we help you, because it will affect our career here and our
career.
So you can see how the government and the nuclear lobby, how they are really holding, you know.
The scientists. Let me ask you this question. This is what I have recently asked myself. How is it that our governments decided that they needed to back nuclear over the cost of the well-being of our citizens?
Military weapon.
So it's really about the war machine. It's the industrial-military complex.
Military-industrial complex. It's never people. That's one thing I was getting little disappointed in, that activist group in the U.S., Coalition Against Nukes, because their focus was only on nuclear plant, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Civil nuclear. You cannot separate civil nuclear from military nuclear.
That's right.
It's one, okay? You don't have one without the other, okay? The civil nuclear is only the social, polite face of military nuclear, you know? So we have to focus and struggle, fight both nuclear, the civil and the military nuclear.
Well, I'm hoping that maybe that bridge is being the gap is being bridged now because of Fukushima. I think Fukushima has exposed a lot. Like, I think it's very interesting that I think it's the director of the NSA or Homeland Security, the new guy, the new military guy, is going to Japan soon. Now, why is he going to Japan? Because Japan has a lot of nuclear waste to sell, period. And that's what they do with it. It is the industrial military complex. What Trump has done has really a silent little coup d'etat here going on in the United States. I mean, they've just come out of the closet. We're a banana republic. So America's going to have a little shock soon when they see what's really happening. I don't know. I don't know if we have to struggle. I mean, this is where I'm at, Hervé. I wonder if you feel the same. I'm done struggling with these people because we're going to get sick. We are not stopping them. They are not going to be stopped, period. They will lie and kill us, and that's exactly their agenda and their plan. until we get enough people to, when you said earlier, people, when we sensationalize it, people get afraid. The reason people sensationalize it is to wake people up to go, holy crap, it's, this is serious.
I still believe we are not fighting it. We're not fighting it from the proper angle.
Okay? I agree completely. We are not. You are right.
I believe the proper angle is a citizen network measuring the contamination of food, of liquid beverage, water.
So for us to get our acts together, put our collective little pennies together,
yes,
get a bunch of food things out there, testing yes. food, sort of like what they did in St. Louis. That's how St. Louis is getting the Westlake land. You know about St. Louis,
that's
right?
The only way.
The citizens there did their own plot chart on the cancer deaths, and they did all this history, and it is overwhelmingly the government cannot ignore it.
That's it. And it's the only way you can raise awareness, you know, public awareness around you, you know,
yeah.
to reach the big numbers that we need, you know.
Yeah.
In 2011, I had suggested, you know, like one way to attack the French nuclear industry is to prove the contamination of the French wine, okay? Because French wine is something, it is part of the French identity, you know,
right.
culture. And also it's big bucks, you know, it's a lot of experts, you know? And a lot of these vineyards, they have money and they have political power locally, you know? So if we could prove the contamination of many red wine and white wine from the Rhône Valley or from Bordeaux, you know, and we could establish a boycott overseas of the French nuclear wine, you know,
yeah,
that would really, you know, raise awareness of the people, you know.
And the government.
And of the government.
So we have about 5 minutes left, Hervé. I wanted to let you know.
Yeah. Well, I think Fukushima is only at the beginning, you know. We still know very little, you know, about.
That's right.
About
but we
what,
know very, what I've discovered is we know very little about all the nuclear pollution.
Yes.
They have done nothing but cover it all up from the very get-go.
True.
I mean, it is beyond. I'm reading this article by Dr. Goffman. It's the Oral History of Human Radiation Testing.
Yeah, he was really good.
Shocking, yeah. Shocking the things he's disclosing, the level of disregard. They have been testing on humans since they discovered radiation, and people weren't even aware of it before the 40s.
Yeah, everyone should read what he wrote. It's really very
shocking.
Very shocking and very revealing, you know.
Yes. Well, look, Hervé, thank you for joining me. I really appreciate this. I hope you will come back again because I like this sharing of ideas. I mean, look, I understand why people get hyperbolic and freak, you know, are jumping up and down. It is an emergency. It really is an emergency. It's not something to underplay. It is our future at stake. The thing is, I agree with you. We need to stick to the facts. That's why I like Donna Gilmore because she's like, look, the government discloses the real terrible, like Hanford. Right on the Hanford website on Washington State, it says, oh, please note, 1 million gallons of highly radioactive contamination has already been spilt. That's on their leak page. That's their last sentence, so don't worry about it. The ongoing stuff, not so bad. We've already spilt 1 million gallons. Yes, so anyways.
Yeah. Like here, well, in France, we have a huge nuclear park. We have many, many old nuke plants. And France just doesn't have the money to decommission them, you know.
They don't even have the plans to decommission them. Yeah. Look into it. There's no plans for decommissioning.
You see, every government who is which is elected for 5 years, doesn't want to spend the money. So they just keep on postponing it to the next government. Yeah.
Well, it should not be the governments. It should be these freaking millionaires and billionaires who've benefited from it all these years. Yeah. No, they get to pay back, and then they get to live a decent lifestyle. So that's how I feel about it. I don't know. I obviously, you can tell, I feel quite strongly about this. Like, it is wrong. The laws were set up incorrectly. These corporations need to have accountability and a stake in the game, and they ought to be paying for it. And people ought not to be able to own islands and mansions and 50 cars and pay for their kids for 10 generations while they kill the planet. No.
There is a French lawyer and an English movement. They are pushing to have an ecocide law passed, okay? Wow. She's a lawyer, and she's trying to have an ecocide law internationally implemented. You know?
Wow.
That would help to bring responsibility to all those companies, to what they're doing to the people and to the planet.
Yes. Yes, that is what we need to have as an ecocide law. I'll have to look into that. I'll have to dig out her name. You'll have to give me your name, and I'll see if I can.
I'll send you some link about it.
I would love that. I would love that.
Okay. Thank you for asking me, and good continuation to you.
Yes, and to you too, everybody. I hope you come back and will join us again. Maybe we could do a joint conversation with Sean McGee. We could do a That would be really awesome. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you, everybody.
You've been listening to Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. This has been a pre-recorded interview with Hervé Courtois of nuclearnews.net and Fukushima 311 Watchdogs on Facebook. Right, Hervé?
Yeah.
And put your courage feet on. Take some action. Lean into it. Democracy only works if you do. So talk to you later, you guys. Bye-bye.
on the Tracks you can catch every Monday night and Friday night.